Last week we spoke of a different kind of power that the Christian is given, a power that stands in great contrast to the world's view of power. We spoke on the Beatitudes. We fight a different warfare than the world. Different kinds of weapons are required. The same weapons that Jesus used. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And the weapons we use, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal weapons, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The world uses bullying force to get its way, but we use the methods described in the Beatitudes to get our way. Whenever you preach a sermon like that, you're concerned that it might be interpreted wrongly. It's a complex subject. Are we not required to defend life and property? Yes. But here we have, blessed are the peacemakers. How do we resolve these things? Well, this is king territory, not priest territory. But make no mistake, the Beatitudes are not teaching pacifism. The common illustration of a home intruder. What would you do if somebody came into your house, broke into your house, with an intent to do harm to your family? What would you do? Well, this is king territory, not priest territory. The rules are complex, but they basically amount to you take your gun and you blow his brains out and plaster them on the wall of your house, the inside wall, not the outside wall. And you do that to the glory of God. And then you come to church the next day and you sing the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are a weapon, but they're a different kind of weapon. And they require careful aim and careful use. We differ so much from fallen humanity. One of those ways is the way that we view the creation story. Genesis 1. We see the origin of the creation differently than the world, don't we? Especially with the origin of light. All of our readings this morning had to do with the subject of either seeing or light. All of the readings in our lectionary. And we first encounter the subject of light very early in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now understand here, it says the earth was without form and void, and it was dark. Not heaven. God created the heaven and the earth. And we have three problems, or opportunities, depending on your temperament, with the earth. One, it was without form. It was undifferentiated. When I talk to the children about this, I say everything was all mixed up. Two, it was void. It was empty. Didn't have any stuff in it. And three, it was dark. No light. Three areas on the earth mark his characteristic transformation from glory to glory. That's what he does best. He takes things that are glorious and transforms them into something more glorious. We, as image bearers of God, do the same, don't we? Don't we do these same three transformative actions in our dominion work upon the earth? We give things form. We fill things up, and we bring light in darkness. Think of it. Name one activity. Think of your job, what you do every day, and see if it doesn't fit into those categories of bringing form, filling, or light to the area to which you are called. I think of teaching. You're teaching students. You're teaching students church history. This is the Reformation. And this is the Enlightenment. Well, what are you doing there? You're bringing form to something that was a muddled mess in the kid's head. How about law enforcement? A lot of you guys are cops. What do? We separate the good guys from the bad guys. You're bringing form to an undifferentiated, chaotic mess. How about the problem of being empty? The earth was void. Well, some of you do gardening or farming. The field is empty in planting season, but you put seeds in it, and soon it will flourish with new growth in harvest. How about marriage? That's a dominion thing. We just got married. We moved into our first home, and it's kind of empty. Don't worry. It'll be filled in a few short years. It'll be packed. Dark. We bring light to bear to the creation, don't we? My first experience flying happened to be at night. I flew from Philadelphia to Texas, and I was enthralled. Of course, now it's kind of ho-hum, but I was enthralled looking at the plane window. It was a clear night, and to see the cities and the streets, you've seen them, beautiful, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Some of you have seen that photo of the North and South Korea. What an economics lesson that is. Right along the DMZ, it's almost all dark north of that. So there's a little light bulb. I think it's in the dear leader's house. But in the south, it's flourishing, all kinds of light. We bring light to a dark world, don't we? But what does Genesis tell us about light? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. That's the first day, first of the 6 days. We have light. Let there be light, and there was light. First day. But we come to the fourth day. This is strange. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set in them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. We had light on the first day. And here we are. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. We create the sun. That proves the Bible's account of creation is mythical, doesn't it? I mean, in the worldview that the world holds, how can you possibly have light without the sun and the other stars? Isn't the sun the source of light? No. The Spirit of God is the ultimate source of light. And the Spirit of God was illuminating heaven. But on the first day, God dispatched his Spirit to hover over the creation and bring the light of the Spirit to the earth. No contradiction for the Christian, but for those that think the material world is ultimate and self-generating, you got a big problem here. You have to reject the story. You can't have light before you have the sun. Different worldview. A different kind of light. We, the redeemed humanity, are a different kind of people than those of fallen humanity. We think differently. In our text scripture this morning, we're going to take a piece out of that lengthy reading in John chapter 9. We're going to look at 35 to 41 again. And this is the story of Jesus healing the blind man since birth. And it has elements of great irony and even humor. Kind of makes you want to laugh as you read the story. It would make a great comedy script. It's about different ways of seeing, different views of light. And as we read the conclusion of this story, this narrative, John chapter 9, verse 35, in some ways this is a very hilarious story. We find that it was the Pharisees who were actually the ones that were blind. John chapter 9, 35, hear the words of God. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, apart from the light of our Savior Jesus, we are blind. And to make our condition worse, so often we think we can see but cannot. With the faith and strength you've given us, we declare our allegiance unto the Son of God. And we pray that you might enlighten those of us here assembled this morning with the true light from your word and spirit, that we might find our way through this dark and sin-infested world. For we come humbly before you, asking in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel story almost makes you want to laugh. The first thing that makes me want to laugh is when the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's funny. But that's a lot like some of us. Somebody suffers some kind of adversity. Kid gets in trouble, something like that. Somebody sinned somewhere. What rule did they break? They wouldn't have broken that rule. Could be all right. The idea of an accusing mentality. Who sinned here? The man or his parents? Got to be somebody. Somebody's got to take the hit. You know, whenever you find yourself doing that, and I do it too, just try to bring into your mind the friends of Job. Because that's what we're being like. The friends of Job. Guy's house burns down. Somebody sinned here. Jesus said, no, he was born blind so that God's glory could be revealed. But then we go further through the story. After the healing of the man, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Can you imagine? A guy born blind since birth can see? Who did that? You know, it's the Sabbath day. I don't sign off on that. Bad. Well, we have a division. It's the same division we talked about earlier. Redeemed humanity sees light and sees seeing differently than fallen humanity. Later, his parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. They knew the drill. They knew what these leaders, so-called seeing, but really blind, they knew what they were like. They knew they were on the threshold of being cast out of the synagogue if they said, well, Jesus healed him. Comical. He is of age, speak for himself. The man answered and said to them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Teachers, you got a guy going around your town that can do miracles. He can restore sight to eyes that have never seen. You better find out what's going on. You should already know. Dripping sarcasm. Herein is a marvelous thing. Since the world was begun, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one born blind. Let's get down to basics. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. This is a comedy show. Those that should have been able to see could not see, and the man born blind could now see. And the story ends with him doing what we're doing this morning. Worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the true light of the world. The Bible just says, and he worshiped him. All our readings this morning, as we've said, in some form or way referenced seeing and how the Christian sees differently than the non-believer. In 1 Samuel 16, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Not the first son, not the second son, not all the way to the seventh son. It was the eighth. That should give us a clue. The number eight, it wasn't the seventh, it wasn't the ninth, it was the eighth. That should tell us something. But that's another sermon. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Man sees differently. Fallen humanity sees differently. They have no light. No true light. Our epistle lesson in Ephesians 5, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. When we consider our fallen world today, we observe that we see almost everything so much differently than the world sees everything. It's like we have a different kind of light guiding us. But Ephesians goes on and says, but all things that are reproved by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And our gospel lesson again. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Here we're told by Jesus that some who see according to the world's way of seeing will actually be made blind for the glory of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Some will be made blind. Others will be made to see. But they will see in a different way. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Like the man in our story, cast out by the world, but converted into becoming a worshiper of the King. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light shineth in darkness, and the darkness did not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The very people intended to receive and embrace this Jesus, this Messiah of Israel, rejected him when he came. And the leaders of the people sternly rebuked the healer of the man who was made blind since birth. And they rebuked the man who had been healed, the blind leading the blind. Well, what about you this morning? Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world. This is the Lord's day. We're in the Lord's house, place of judgment. Are you following the true light? Or are you blindly stumbling through life while thinking you can see? Is your thinking shaped by the Word of God, who is the true light of the world? Do you make your decisions, especially moral decisions, using the law Word of God as your ethical foundation? One indicator of these answers would be whether you have responded to this Jesus as the healed man responded. Are you following that healed guy? What did he do? He worshiped him. What is your response towards the call to worship? Hey, I just kind of go with the flow. My family shows up here. It seems kind of a good thing. I get to see my friends. Kind of a routine, you know. Sundays would be different without it. And he worshiped him. How do you approach this hour of worship? Reluctantly? Yeah, I'll be here if I have nothing else more pressing. Inspection due in the car next week. Might want to take it to the garage instead. And I only got 7 hours sleep last night. I don't think I can make it today. Hopefully it's not like that. Hopefully it's more reverently. I would not miss an opportunity to join with other believers, my brothers and sisters, and lift up the name of my Savior Jesus, no matter what tried to stop me. I was a little discouraged. Had a bad week at school. A couple of parents ticked me off. Kids were bad. I don't think I'm going to make it Sunday. God didn't give me an emotional boost. For judgment, I am come into this world. You know, I remember one time I was witnessing to a man. He was a sign painter, not known to anybody here, a long time ago. And I was out in the parking lot here. We had just got done talking about a sign painting job. And I was in his car talking to him. And I was talking to him about the gospel. And I was giving him the information about Christ, the Messiah, coming to the earth to establish his kingdom, and our requirement to declare our allegiance to him. Pretty straightforward. And as I covered each point, he ended with the phrase every time, yeah, but you know what I think? And I would say something else. Yeah, but you know what I think? Yeah, but you know what I got tired of hearing that. And if I was tired, I think God was tired of it too. Yeah, but you know what I think? We hear the word of God. Yeah, but you know what I think? When I have chapel with the children, we have candles and on the altar. And I light the candles at the beginning. And as I light them, I don't have this liturgically set up. It's just lighting the candles. But I'm thinking, well, I should say something. Why am I lighting these candles? So I've developed this ritual. When I bring the fire to the candle, I say, we are coming to meet with Jesus on this altar mountain here, and Jesus is the light of the world. So right about that time I get the candles lit. Jesus is the light of the world. He brings light to a very dark place. And sometimes I wonder, could it be that within the mind of the children, those small rituals might actually teach more than my sermon that day? You know, it's not ultimately about what you or I or anyone thinks. It's about what the true light has actually said. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. We don't have a posture of saying what I think, what I see. It's what he thinks and what he allows us to see. Jesus is the true light. He is the true reality. And it is by him and by his enlightened judgment that he so generously shares with us in advance that we all are and will be judged. For ye who were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Amen.